morning, KSJD. You are listening to River Radio here at the great radio station in downtown Cortez. I am your host, Sam Carter, and River Radio is brought to you by Dolores Riverboating Advocates. Today is Thursday, February 11th, 2016. Our guests today are the brothers Matthew and Nathan Klima. They grew up boating on the Dolores River and now boat all around the world, including a recent breaking of the Grand Canyon speed record. We will talk with Matthew and Nathan shortly. First, this news. Wolf Bauer has passed away at the age of 103. Bauer was one of the original founders of the American Whitewater in the 1960s. In the 1960s, upon witnessing the devastating effects of dams on rivers, Bauer worked successively to prevent rivers in the Pacific Northwest from being dammed. He also provided input in the formation of the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act. Bauer shifted from rivers to ocean preservation later in his life, and he worked extensively to protect undeveloped coastal shorelines and then to restore damaged shorelines and beaches of Washington State. The speed record for all forms of boating travel through the Grand Canyon has been broken twice in the last month. Prior to the record set this past month, the previous record was set in 1983 and made famous by the powerful book titled The Emerald Mile. This run is 277 miles long and was completed in 34 hours and 2 minutes, an average of 8 miles an hour. The new record is held by Colorado resident Ben Orkin. Flows in the Dolores River at the town of Dolores are still registering ice. Flows out of McPhee Reservoir into the Dolores River have risen in the last month, 7/10 of a CFS to 30.8 CFS. And our main content today, again, we have two brothers on the phone, Matt and Nate Klima. These guys grew up in Durango and have boated all around the Southwest, particularly on the Dolores River, and now boat all around the world, and were one of the crews that did set out and broke the Grand Canyon speed record. Nate and Matt, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sam. Thanks.
Morning, Sam.
It's great to have you guys on the phone. Great to hear from you guys again. So you guys, as we mentioned earlier, you guys both grew up boating on the Dolores. Your parents owned and operated a whitewater rafting company, Peregrine River Outfitters, and one of the rivers that your folks' company operated on was the Dolores River below McPhee Dam. You guys were youngsters, but you were out there boating. What do you both remember about boating on the Dolores as a young kid?
I always remember just always when school was out, always looking forward to going on the river, and the Dolores was always the first one that we always did every spring. And just the beauty and the nature of the place. And our dad always, Tom Klima, always, it was always a really special river to him. And so I think that kind of rubbed off on us as being our favorite one, being the first one every year, and just how special it was to him. And, many different sections that all were so unique that you could do.
Nate, what do you remember?
I think just a lot of my earliest memories are on Dolores. It's perfect river for kids, mellow white water, plenty of places to play. Pretty similar. I just remember always being really excited to hop in the van and cruise over to the Dolores and go boating.
So you guys are now boating all over the place. I mean, literally all over the world. How often are you able to get back to the Dolores?
I haven't been back on the Dolores probably since 2007 or 2008. I don't think I've been able to get onto it just with everything that's been going on with work and life. But, it's been a while for me.
Nate, have you made it there recently?
Probably pretty similar. I mean, the last time I did the whole river was 2005. So it was a pretty good water year then. And then I think did some upper, kind of that section right below McPhee, probably about 2007.
Mm-hmm. Folks, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking on the phone with brothers Matthew and Nathan Klima. One of them is in Portland, Oregon right now, the other in Fort Collins, and we're talking about how they grew up boating on the Dolores River and now boat all over the world. These are young, world-class kayakers that do some pretty outstanding boating. So, Nate, when Well, I guess this is to both of you, but Nate, I kind of have some questions for you in here. When you guys were both young kayakers, you grew up in Durango, and so you also spent a lot of time on the Animas River, particularly the upper Animas, between Silverton and Durango. You guys, in your own times, both of you were the youngest kayakers to ever have run that stretch, which is a pretty rowdy stretch. In the end, Nate, you became the youngest person to run the upper Animas at the age of 11, although your mom did tell me you were 10. Can you describe the upper Animas and talk to us about how that stretch of river shaped the kind of trips you would pursue later in life?
Yeah, so I think the upper Animas is a stretch of very continuous, class 4 or 5 water, 26 miles long, and just incredibly scenic and beautiful. And at the time, I think Matt and I were just boating all the time. And we just got to a point where I was ready to do that stretch, and Matt was a really exceptional boater and really took really good care of me. And we went and did it, and I think probably that is one of the rivers that really got me excited about doing these rivers that are kind of journeys. Because you start up in Silverton, you're way up high in the mountains, and then you just basically just paddle right through the Wemenooch Wilderness, and it's just incredible trip.
So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I actually have a couple more questions about the upper Animas. So quick break, folks. You are listening to River Radio here on KSJD. We're talking with Matthew and Nathan Klima, brothers who grew up running in the Dolores. We'll be right back. Hey, folks. Welcome back to River Radio right here on KSJD, your dryland community radio. My name is Sam Carter. I'm the host today. On the phone, I've got two brothers, Matthew Klima calling from Fort Collins, Colorado, and Nathan Klima calling from Portland, Oregon. These guys grew up in Durango, boated a lot on the Lower Dolores as they grew up in a river company, and now are boating all around the world. We were talking about the Upper Animas before we went to break. I want to ask one other question about the Upper Animas. That river stretch is really known for its rowdy, stout, white water that is not for the novice or even the kind of medium stage boater. Matthew, can you talk about the quality, the nature of that white water up there and how it compares to other rivers that you've run around the world?
Oh, that's pretty hard. I mean, every river obviously is very, very unique. As far as difficulty, it's certainly, one of the more difficult raft runs in the U.S., but it's definitely a lot lower volume and lower gradient than a lot of the rivers that we've been paddling around the world. We've been paddling things with slightly higher gradient than the Animas that have, up to 10 to 20,000 CFS. So mostly different. We're definitely looking at bigger rivers or most of what we've been paddling around in other countries.
Do you guys ever get scared when you're kayaking?
Yeah, all the time.
And you keep coming back.
Yeah.
So,
you look at a river and you have to, you see a line and you have to trust that you can do it. And a certain stage, you get to a point where you have to trust your judgment of whether you can do it or not, with the ultimate consequence at the end of that, which is scary, and it should be scary. Mm-hmm. But
so I want to talk about this speed run you guys got involved in. There's been a long-standing record set in 1983. Made famous by the book The Emerald Mile. That story is three guys in a wooden dory getting on the river when it's 70,000 CFS, getting on the Colorado River and running the 277 miles when it's 70,000 CFS, major flood stage, super high water because of all the snow, and they set a record for how fast a oar-powered boat had gotten down the river. And it's a great book. If you haven't read The Emerald Mile out there, I certainly encourage it. It's an amazing story. But you guys, just this past month, decided to, with two other gentlemen, go see if you could break the speed record set by the Emerald Mile There's lots of questions about this one, but why did you, first off, why did you guys want to break the speed record? Maybe Matthew, you can answer that one.
I think it was mostly just out of curiosity. I mean, obviously the story of the Emerald Mile is a big part of the Grand Canyon culture, and it was just a curiosity to see how feasible it was to go that fast through the Grand Canyon. The other two reasons I'd say is just have a different experience through there, and yeah, just the curiosity, I guess.
Different meaning not camping.
Yeah.
So, Nate, can you tell us what was the outcome of you guys' effort to break this break and set a new speed record down there?
So we set out, we accomplished to do. We ended up, our fastest. We got kind of strung out on the lake, but just over 35 hours, and everyone else was kind of just a little ways behind. We pretty much pulled off our goal, which was to break the record and just go on a cool boating trip together, get out on the river. And then 2 days later, Benjamin Orkin, also from Colorado, set out and actually undercut us by about an hour.
Huh.
So it was a pretty bizarre, crazy couple days. It was pretty cool to watch his progress, having just gotten off the river, and kind of relive it that way.
Right. And that wasn't planned, that you guys and this other gentleman, Ben Orkin, were going to kind of almost compete for the same record.
Pure coincidence. We didn't really know the other was planning it at all.
So you guys are boating. Did you put in the dark or the daytime?
We put it at 4:30 in the morning, yeah.
So it's probably dark, we'll say. So you put it in at 4:30 in the morning, it's dark, you boat for 35 hours straight, 277 miles, but this means your guys are running what I consider to be the biggest rapid on the river out there, Lava Falls. You're running this thing in the dark. I get really nervous running that thing in the light time, in the daytime. Can you just describe that? What is that like to run that rapid in the dark, and how did you actually strategically run that rapid?
It was awesome. I mean, we were all pretty, we'd been a long time on the water so far, and we'd only gotten out of our boats once. But we'd had an amazing, probably my favorite stretch of the whole trip was the moonlight for the previous, 7 hours. We were paddling without headlamps on from, mile 130 all the way to Lava Falls. And we just said, here we go, and turned on our headlamps and went run right after the other, and everyone had a perfect run. It was a beautiful thing to watch and it feel together, just everybody coming down through there.
And I feel like I read somewhere that a couple of you had red blinking lights on your back so that the other guys could follow you. Is that right?
Yeah. Matt and I know the river really well because we've worked down there for years. And so the other guys didn't really know the lines that well. They're really amazing paddlers, but just hadn't spent the time down there. And so they put little blinking lights on Matt and I so they could follow us to the rapids and know where to go.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. That's a brilliant story there. And folks out there, if you're listening to this, you can look up on Canoe and Kayak magazine. There's a great write-up of this story. So you guys are both river guides down in the Grand Canyon in the summer, kind of springs and summers. I got a real quick question. You got to give me a quick answer. How do you feel about doing that work? Like, what does that do for you in terms of offering something back to the rivers?
Nate, go for it.
I would say that it's just a chance for us to share the experience that we get to have on rivers all over the world. I mean, it's so amazing to get with a group of people, go downriver, and just experience being so immersed in a canyon and a river. And the Grand Canyon's a long enough trip and just remote enough trip that people without a ton of boating experience get a chance to know what that's like. And I think it's really powerful and changes a lot of people's lives.
That's great. Okay, well, we could obviously talk for a long time, but we got to cut it there. That's the end of our show. Matthew, Nathan, thank you so much for getting on the air with us and telling the stories, and keep boating and being safe. Ladies and gentlemen out there in Radio Land, thanks for joining us today. This has been another edition of River Radio. Join us next month. I'll be hosting from southern Chile, learning more about the rivers in the southern hemisphere. Today's show production comes from our new gentleman, Austin Cope, and from Tom Yoder, who is the Radio Tower. Thanks for tuning in, and always ask yourself, what do you expect from a river?